We all must have heard innumerable times from our granddad about how cheap everything was when he was a kid. He would say a Coke bottle was only 50 cents and a chocolate bar only 10 cents. The change in the prices of these goods occurred over time as a result of inflation. Inflation in economics is defined as the general increase in the price of various goods and services in an economy over time. With inflation, the value of currency decreases or depreciates, as the currency cannot buy as many goods and services as it could do once. While inflation exists in every economy, the severity of it varies greatly across economies and time periods. One common measure of inflation is called the Consumer Price Index, or in short, the CPI. If you hear the inflation rate reported in media, then you are generally hearing the latest or the most recent estimate of the CPI. Consumer Price Index compares the prices of a market basket of consumer goods in a particular year to the prices for that market basket in a base year to get a price index. Thus, to calculate CPI, we follow the formula, that is, price of a market basket of goods in a given year divided by the price of the same goods in the base year multiplied by 100. The fixed basket of goods is used to calculate the CPI. The fixed basket is composed of consumer goods and services purchased or bought by a typical consumer. The prices of these goods are collected each month by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, or in short, ABS in Australia. Weights are applied to prices depending on the population of the area from which the prices is collected. On average, when the prices of goods goes up, the CPI will indicate that inflation has occurred in the economy. And on average, when prices have fallen, the CPI will indicate deflation. In looking at the formula for the CPI, you will note that it is an index that will be equal to 100. If the prices of goods and services have remained the same from 1 year time period to the next. So if the index is 100, it is the base year, and you calculate a CPI of 104 in the current year, then you could say that there has been a 4% inflation since the base year. If the CPI is equal to 99 in the current year, then you could say there has been 1% deflation since the base year. To be able to express the inflation rate as a percentage, we must use the formula for an inflation as inflation rate in year X is equal to CPI in year X minus CPI in year 1 divided by CPI in year 1 times 100. In the formula, year 1 is the base year. Note that inflation is always measured by percentage changes in prices, and not simply by changes in the index points. There are five steps that ABS follows in calculating CPI and inflation. The first step in calculating the consumer price index is to fix the basket to determine which prices are most important to the typical consumer. If typical consumer buys more pizza than meat pies, then the price of pizza is more important than the price of meat pies, and therefore should be given greater weight by ABS in measuring the cost of living. The second step in calculating the consumer price index is to find the prices of each of the goods and services in the basket for each point in time. The third step is to use the data on prices to calculate the cost of the basket of goods and services at different point in times. Notice, since keeping the basket of goods remain fixed, only the prices in this calculation changes. The fourth step is to designate 1 year as the base year, which is used as a reference year with which other years are compared. To calculate the index, the price of the basket of goods and services in each year is divided by the basket in the base year, and this ratio is then multiplied by 100. The resulting number is the consumer price index. The fifth and the final step is to use the CPI to calculate inflation rate, which is the percentage change in the price index from the preceding periods. Let's look at some of the impacts of inflation on the economy. First, the impact of inflation on income. Let's say that you earn $100,000 a year in income and that you do not receive a pay rise from 1 year to the next. If there has been a 4% inflation during that time period, then you have actually received a 4% pay cut. Because if your pay remains the same and prices go up by 4%, then your income will buy 4% less next year than it bought the year before. Your nominal income has stayed the same, but your real income has fallen. We can generally say that in terms of pay increases, your increase in real income is equal to the increase in nominal income minus the inflation rate. A second impact that inflation can have on the economy is to redistribute income and wealth, either from creditors to debtors if the inflation is not corrected, anticipated, or from one sector of the economy to another if the inflation is not balanced. Let's look at each of these cases individually. If you were a banker and wanted to make a 1 year loan to someone from which you would earn 4% interest, what interest rate would you charge if you thought the inflation rate was going to be 2% next year? You would charge the borrower an interest rate of 6%, that is the nominal interest rate, so that you would earn 4% real interest. This is because the borrower would be paying you back with money that is worth 2% less than the money he or she borrowed. That's the impact of 2% inflation. What if you do not anticipate inflation correctly? In this example, what is the impact on the creditor, the banker? If he thinks the inflation rate is going to be 2% and it actually turns out to be 5%, if he makes the loan at a 6% nominal interest rate and there is 5% inflation, then the real rate of interest that he will earn is only 1%, far below the 4% he wanted to earn. Thus, if inflation is unanticipated or anticipated incorrectly, wealth is transferred from the creditor to the debtor. In general, because inflation is difficult to anticipate, debtors like inflation and creditors do not. Next, let us look at the issue of whether inflation is balanced. If we say that inflation last year was 4%, you might imagine that the price of everything went up 4%. That would be balanced inflation. But the reality would be that prices of some things went up 4%, the prices of other things went down, and the prices of some items might have gone up by far more than 4%. We only know that prices went up on average by 4%. So let's say that the prices of vegetables in the green stores go up by 2%, and prices of meal at a restaurant go up by 8%. Consumers might be led to buy relatively more vegetables at the green stores and eat at a restaurant less often. The unbalanced inflation would redistribute wealth from restaurant owners to greengrocers' store. If inflation is balanced, no such redistribution would take place.